Start wearing purple, wearing purple.
Yeah, about to touch a big old Wellhorse penis. Which I expect to be bigger for how big the animal is.
I mean, that's a pretty big dick.
Yeah, but horses have bigger dicks, and they're smaller than walruses.
Well, girth-wise, yes, but, like, they're fairly substantial.
You never buy a... I mean, seriously, you never buy a stud farm? Those motherfuckers are huge.
Oh, big old dangling dick.
Big old dick. Crazy.
Yeah, I've seen horse dick and cow dick, and it's distressing.
It give you nightmares.
It may now that it's been brought back up, but...
Do you know that they have, like, horse dick sheaths? It's like this, like a sword, but for a horse dick.
What?
Yeah, but they, like, unsheath it. Well, they basically milk horse semen to, like, inseminate, and it's like this fucking, like, glove thing that they stick over, like, a fucking sheath that the horse fucks.
You've been to the wrong places on the internet.
Yeah, dude, I'm saying, holy fuck.
Sorry.
I started took a wrong turn real quick.
I started taking porn tips from Kron.
Earlier joke, no.
Do you know the word origin of vagina?
No.
It's vagina. It's Latin.
Oh, I went to school with vagina.
Yeah, she was a sweetheart. Yeah. Wasn't she great, though?
She was great.
Vagina, it's Latin for sheath for a sword. So a vagina... Like, the word origin is actually sheath for a sword.
Is dick sheath.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what... I mean, come on, guys. It's what it is.
True. I mean, mine's been unsheathed for a while now. I need to find a sheath for my dick.
Yeah. Wagina.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right. I don't see any better way to start this than
walrus dick.
Than walrus dick and dick sheath. So let's do it. Welcome to our second Kevin Smith episode of Geeks Under the Influence. We are going to talk mainly about his podcasts. Everybody on the panel today had the opportunity to see him at the National just a few days ago.
Fuck yeah.
When he came through to do Q&As and everything. And
what's the National, Mike?
The National is one of our bigger music venues in Richmond. It does have its issues, like most big music venues.
Yeah.
And its floor is not soft to sit on cross-legged for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, no. The two of your panelists, me and Yankee Blue Jeans Jody, sat on the floor most of the time to get questions in.
The folding chairs weren't that much more comfortable.
That's true. So, yeah.
Yeah,
this
for real.
This is episode 47. We're going to talk about our experience with Kevin Smith's Q&A and all of his podcast stuff. Welcome.
Geeks Under the Influence.
But I liked that once the dude that got the 2-hour answer moved out of the way.
Dude, for real. Like, and the thing is, I was wondering, why the fuck are you standing there? And then I'm looking, and obviously I'm watching Kevin up there doing his thing, and he's like ranting, and then he'll like just look at him for a second. Like, so he was literally directing everything he was saying to him, but also bringing the audience in at the same time. So that's why the guy was standing there.
And we'll get into all that in just a minute. First off, let's announce who is on this panel. Some of us sat together, or maybe just like a half aisle away.
Cross-eyed.
Yeah, not too far away. I am the Hobbit, host and drunk driver of this podcast. So let's see how well that works out for everybody. Next to me is Jen.
Hey, I'm Jennifer.
Back
this is
again.
My second time.
Second Kevin
Wish
Smith.
Me luck.
Second time.
Yeah, second podcast ever / second Kevin Smith podcast.
Yeah, I was very happy that both Scott and Jen were able to make it out for this one.
I only make it out for Kevin Smith.
I think we all established we all bought tickets basically opening day as well.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And next to Jen is her lovely husband, Mr. Scotty P.
Hi! That's me. Yeah.
You're just getting over some
pneumonia. So if you hear hacking sounding like a dying walrus. Yeah, it's probably me.
Sweet husband.
It's also because we dressed him up in a walrus outfit in spirit of this episode.
Totally. I'm kicking my flipper right now.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
I'm going to have to edit that out in post because it's bad on the mic, the flipper noises.
I'm sorry, but it's exciting. It's a little warm, but it's exciting.
Wait to eat the fish till the break.
That's how I'm going to describe things that excite me now. It's like, oh, it's got my flipper jingling.
My flipper is a flipping.
My flipper's flipping.
He doesn't have any choice because he's sewn in.
And that's the knees do hurt a little bit, but it's okay.
It's fine.
I'll make it work.
You'll be fine.
The big tusks, though, I think it brings out your eyes, so I think it's a good look for you.
Oh, the ivory?
Yeah, the ivory. Yeah, it really just... And you clean those things, too, because they're nice and white.
Oh, dude, wax them every day.
There you go.
Yes.
Next one up is our panelist that was actually fortunate enough to be one of the four people that actually got a question in for Kevin Smith. Miss Yankee Blue Jeans, Jody, is here.
I cried all the way to the car.
She like loud, like scream, ugly cried back to the car. It was a thing of beauty. It really was. It was actually really sweet.
I had a good time.
Yeah.
So
aside from the 2.5 hours on the floor, but
oh, dude, the next day, like I'm sitting in my desk chair at work, and I'm like, is this chair getting worn through? Why is my ass hurting?
I think you even texted me, does your ass hurt?
I did fully text Mike, does your ass hurt?
It's been a while since a woman texted me, does your ass hurt?
I don't think I even want to know why someone would have in the first place.
Look, my pegging days are things I don't like to talk about, but, you know, things happen. And
I also have a huge bruise from when I realized I was actually going to get to ask a question. I went from, like, sitting crisscross applesauce to, like, getting up. And I used my knee as leverage, and I had like a black bruise with like a red spot in the middle.
Ouch.
Yeah.
But was it worth it?
I mean, maybe.
Maybe. All the ugly crying was just a fake act, just to seem like
it was for attention.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. There she goes again, trying to get attention by ugly crying.
Yeah. It works.
And the one that deals with the ugly crying most of all is her wonderful husband, the German, Mr. Groots.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
He deals with the ugly crying and the punishment Broadway. So.
Oh, yeah. I got tuned into the Broadway punishment last night.
It happens.
Do I want to know?
A YouTube rabbit hole of bad Broadway musicals.
Mm. Oh, yep. Never mind. It's cool. Yeah.
I don't want to know.
You say the wrong thing and you get hit with a Broadway tune that she plays real loud. And yeah, then you have to endure.
When she's looking up stuff and going, I'm punishing you. Then you know you're in for a real treat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
And finally, our last panelist that was able to join us on the Q&A for Kevin Smith as well, Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's up, guys?
You are staring down the barrel of your last days as a single person.
I am, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah. Ha, 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 ha. I mean, it's awesome.
You
gotta
put some dread in your heart. But you will be married by the time this episode releases.
I will be, yes. Yep. April 30th.
Yep.
I'm getting married, so.
The Cabin in the Woods episode. This is the one directly after, so.
Which Cabin in the Woods was recorded at the bachelor party, which all the guys did a great fucking job handling that shit.
That was so much fun.
I was wrecked. They broke me that weekend, guys. They broke me.
That's the worst part of partying out of town is that drive back where you're just like, ugh.
Like everything, everything sucks. Nice. Like even after eating, thought I'd feel better. No, it just sucked.
Yeah.
It was just miserable.
You're just in the car like, I just want to bed. I want to bed right now.
The day after Anthony's bachelor party, we had to go to D.C. and see the Book of Mormon.
Worth it. I was basically a zombie.
Yeah, but worth it.
I laughed my ass off. That was the fucking funniest music.
But he was an actual fucking zombie person. Like, I was driving and he was like, I turn here. Like, could not deal with his life. It was completely terrible.
That's kind of what happens, you know?
You know, that should be something that Kevin Smith does as a musical.
I think he could kick that in the ass, yeah.
Yeah.
Team up he and Joss Whedon.
Oh, I was about to say. Oh, motherfucker, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That would be something special. Because Whedon, of course, has done some musical stuff.
Dr. Horrible in the Buffy episode.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But like a straight up Broadway musical by Joss Whedon would be everything. Would be everything.
I just jazz handed.
Yes. Yeah. You jazz handed on an audio podcast.
I did.
I'm proud of you.
But I spoke about it. Yes. So it's fine.
What would be weirder is if you lied about it, like you didn't jazz hand and then informed everybody that you jazz handed.
Yeah, that's not what happened.
No, that's not at all what happened. But let's get into, I guess, the Q&A for the most part. Jody, do you remember the question that you asked Mr. Kevin Smith?
Yeah. So, of course, I shared with him, fan of his films, but I said one of the things that I've really enjoyed in his career has been getting to know he and his family through his podcasts, especially Plus One. And I said, I know I'm not the only person here who's a Plus One fan because my friend Jen has a Plus One tattoo. And then she got regarded, which was awesome.
He did the little, like, the cutesy hand wave that you do to little kids.
And then he had to explain the crowd what Plus One is, and that was fine. And I was like, but Kevin, like, honestly, You and your wife's relationship has been somewhat inspirational to me. You guys remind me a little bit of me and my husband. And I really enjoyed, like, when my husband and I were getting ready to get married, we listened to Tough Shit, and I enjoyed the back of the knee story. And so can you share another anecdote from your relationship? Thought it was a good question. I didn't think it was a good question when I was getting ready to ask it, but it ended up being okay.
Well, you were doing the standard, like, I don't know if this is a good enough question. Should I sit down? And I'm really glad, even though I didn't get the opportunity to ask my question, that I was there as kind of like moral support, because that was a big moment for you to be able to talk to the man.
Yeah. I was like, Mike, I'm going back to my seat. This sucks. This is the worst question. Like, everybody's going to be mad. And he was like, calm down.
I think I looked you and like sternly said, give yourself this chance.
Yeah. So, but it worked out well.
Yeah.
So.
It was a funny story.
It was.
I love hearing about Jen anytime. Yeah, absolutely. He brings her up. It's the best.
Well, we got some insight into, you know, as anybody listening that is a Kevin Smith fan, you are probably aware that he lost a bunch of weight in recent months.
Yeah, he did.
Like a lot.
Pounds.
And this was the first story that I'd heard about how his sex life has changed since he lost all that weight, that he doesn't have to be on the bottom all the time now. That was a very, very funny story. And it was nice to, there was a lot of stuff that he talked about that I had heard on podcasts or, you know, on different Q&As before, which that's going to happen.
The books he explained a lot too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I mean, some of those stories I was familiar with, but it was still also cool to see him talk about it in person. And, but that was a story that I don't think had been shared anywhere before. So it was cool to get that insight.
Yeah. He basically talked about how when he was heavier, he couldn't get underwear in a lot of different colors. And so he mostly just did maroon underwear and like dealt with it. And when he had lost some weight, he was out somewhere, whatever, and like managed to get a pair of black underwear. And he was super fucking excited about it. So he texts his wife and he's like, send me a picture of your pussy. And she does. And then he sends, like, he's not confident enough to send her a picture of him in his black underwear. So he sends her a picture of the underwear. And stop me if I'm, like, twisting it.
No, you're right on right now.
So he sends her a picture of the black underwear, like, laid out, like, yas, with, like, caption that is naughty, and he accidentally sent it to his daughter.
Yeah.
And then what did she texted him back, like, what, not maroon?
No, I think she texted back first, like, what the fuck, dad?
Yeah. So he called her and he said that she answered like, hello,
like very timid, I would say.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know this went for your mom, right?
But then she made a maroon joke.
Yo, she did. Oh, yeah.
She did after that. But she was like getting the she clarified all that.
Before. Yeah, I think she was more concerned with other things at the moment.
Yeah.
More worried about the color.
Yeah.
So,
but that's what you're able to get by going and seeing a live Kevin Smith episode of Q&A is that you get to learn about his underwear color. So, you know.
I can't argue.
Worth it.
Yep.
I mean, it was told really well. The dude's an amazing storyteller. Like, it was 3 hours of literally telling stories, and it was beautiful.
I thought that Jody was really trying to do an Empire Records thing by trying to guess his underwear color so she could take him into a back room and find out on her own. But, because we are all aware that, you know.
Well, she kind of stole my idea, but, you know.
It would just be one of us pulling his pants down, the rest of us leering in the back.
Right. A doorway with, like, everybody, like, up the door jam, like, eyes just peeking around.
Totem pole heads just, of
UI. Yeah, there you go. That's people. What I needed. Yeah. Yep. That's. At least would have been my ideal night.
That would be so creepy if it wasn't so funny.
Shut up.
Just like soft whispering. Just like, do it.
What color? I can't see the light.
Oh my god, you got button fly. Do it slow. Oh yeah. Oh, show me them plum undies.
Plum undies.
Plumdies.
I feel like I was able to carry on. Yeah, yeah, Plumdies.
Plumdies might have Plumdies. To be.
I feel like, did I look like a crazy person?
There, you did do the Hercules clap. You know, the,
yeah, lots of hand movements.
You did.
But it was really cute.
Yeah. It was cool.
It was super cute.
It was
extremely adorable, but it was definitely like if you just went Hercules, Hercules, it would have been spot on.
I was really excited. I know when I was asking the question, like I was extremely gesticulating, like putting my hands on my head and like putting my hands out and like totally Mary Catherine Gallagher, like. Sometimes I put my hands in my arms. I smell like this. Yeah. But
you also did Vanna White at one point where you just like, he said a thing and you just like, this man. Like,
yeah. Totally, like, yeah. There were some like, and over here we have. Ta-da.
In case anybody was there being like, I just wanted to sit in a folding chair in a crowded room. I didn't know who this guy was. And you're like, bitch, this guy.
Bitch. Oh my God, bitch. Like,
but. If anybody was not paying attention to the guy on the stage talking with the microphone, this is when you need to be paying attention to man on stage with a microphone.
But really, honestly, that was the first time of the night that we got him to go into the podcast.
Yeah.
Which, that's such a big part of his life. I was surprised that he didn't talk about it more.
Yeah.
So, it was really good to hear about it a little bit, like his home life.
Yeah, well, overall with the questions, we got fortunate. I mean, the first one was the two-hour big one, which is his kind of MO, be fair. And I think it was just right of a question, because it was about some dude's book, about who's right, basically the viewer or the creator of
art. Yeah, the reader or the writer, yeah.
Right, you know, that type of thing, which works for him. It did fit in perfectly for everything he talks about. But I think that was just his gateway to be able to just floodgates open and here's all the new stuff I've been waiting to talk about and to do. This is how we've known, because I don't think he's really done anything since Super Groovy Cartoon Movie.
Out
this way, at least. Yeah, he's done other random live stuff, but it's usually part of the podcast, not an actual Q&A anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
That is his MO, though. Like, the first question, he basically does his stand-up routine.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And Anthony and I were talking about that, because that bothered Anthony about the way that it flowed.
I mean, so. I feel like he's...
Shut your poor mouth.
I feel like he's experienced enough as a spoken word guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done how many of these now? Dozens? Hundreds?
Hundreds, probably. Yeah.
I feel like he has these stories... And he knows how to organically weave them into whichever questions he gets. I just feel like it would be better for the audience if he's going to have an entire 3-hour Q&A session sort of, you know, thing, that he would actually take more questions and like be able to like, he'll take the first question and he'll tell some stories and maybe 30 minutes later, he'll get to the next person. So like more than four people get to actually say something.
No, and that's understandable.
Anthony's coming from a stance also of like being terrified that his wife, who was next in line, wasn't going to get to ask a question.
Fair enough. After 2 hours, and that same motherfucker was still up there.
I'm like,
Kevin, say goodbye, because he was there. It was like left, right, upstairs, back, and literally, she was going to be the fourth question. And I was terrified. Two hours in, I was like, this is all she wants. This is all I want for my wife. This is why I got her the ticket for Valentine's Day. She was going to go anyway, but I got her this ticket in a good seat on the aisle so that she could ask a question.
Right.
I really wanted her to do that. And I was legitimately, like, concerned that it wasn't going to get back to her.
I was a little worried, too, because I was really hoping you'd get to ask a question. I was a little bummed that Mike didn't get to ask any questions.
I was the only one that was going to plug the podcast.
I'm sorry.
I feel like my whole point is basically I feel like he could have told all those stories with like eight different people asking most of the same questions. Jody's question was unique, you know, of the four that were asked.
Right.
I don't know how many were going to be more of like the personal style, but I feel like a lot of the questions in the audience would probably have been related to his movies or his podcast
career.
Something where type, he can just weave those stories in.
They're softballs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. So that's my point. I think if he could figure out how to incorporate like more inclusion into more people of the audience, like his shows would only get better.
Well, the way that I've always seen his Q&As, because I've seen, you know, Evening with Kevin Smith and Evening Harder, the second one, and Too Fat to Fly, and like all that stuff. I'm very familiar with his style with Q&A. So yeah. I knew going in that it would be 45 minutes, an hour, you know, hour and a half.
Hence why people throw elbows to get to the mic first.
Yes, and, because yeah. that's the only chance
no
that
shit.
You've got.
That first guy, I swear to God, he was trying to kill somebody to get to that spot.
Oh, yeah.
But that was the thing, too, is that he acknowledged it right at the beginning, being like, oh, God, don't worry about lining up, like, seriously, because I'm a little long-winded. And
right.
No, yeah, and he was like, feel free to sit down. And so I just, like, dropped.
Yeah.
Right when he said that.
Yeah.
You like, I'm going to sit right here.
You got directed by Kevin Smith.
Yeah,
actually.
I was like,
so,
oh.
Yeah. And then I ran up right behind you, and that's when he's like, no, I just said don't do that. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. I'm sitting right here. And, but what I've always taken from his Q&As is that the Q&A part is more of just the vehicle that he uses to tell his stories. And he wants to get all this stuff out. So if another question comes up that doesn't fit with what the next thing he wanted to talk about, he's going to lose it. So that's why he goes on these long rants. It's much like with Geeks Under the Influence, we have a theme every week, but really it's just the vehicle to talk about each other's dicks.
Well, that's what I told Anthony. I was like, this is what he does. He has...
I almost kind of wish this was a video episode just for the look on Lowdown's face.
Yeah,
that was super cute.
After the dick's comment, Lowdown just like turns his head and like raises an eyebrow, like,
and then
really?
He licked his chops. Like, what the
yeah,
is that about?
Yeah. Hey man,
I think he's getting prepped.
Yeah,
but
I'm
you know,
saying.
Hey,
there you go.
You start talking about dicks, and that's what happens. But
that's what he does. Like, and if it you're is. On a multi. City tour, like, rather than having a bunch of people throw shit at you that could throw you off, like, I understand going up and doing like your stand-up set.
Yeah. It's almost like it should be promoted more so of a spoken word,
yeah,
you know, more Henry Rollins style of just like, hey, I'm gonna tell you what I've been up to the past year or whatever, you know, and then if I can, I'll open up to some questions and hopefully expand on what I've been talking about,
right?
I think that formula would fit him a lot better, because I agree with what Anthony was saying as well. I've noticed that because, oh, geez, that first evening with Kevin Smith, I watched literally one time almost 24 hours straight on repeat just because it was that fucking funny.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of the evening with Kevin Smith, the DVD, or I guess not, but that was actually the first thing that introduced me to Kevin Smith as a person and not just Kevin Smith, you know, as
the director.
Movie director,
yeah.
Or Silent Bob. So that was pretty cool. And Scott introduced me to that, so.
Yeah,
I think that was true with me as well, because I only knew him as Silent Bob and honestly didn't know that that was the director when I first watched, you know, a couple Kevin Smith movies.
Oh. See, that was half the fun that we had, was figuring out who Brian Johnson was, because, you know, he did some producing and other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Scott Mosier and everything. You know, who knew, you know, when you first watched Clerks, did you know Scott Mosier was fucking Snowball?
No.
I mean,
no.
I had no idea. You know,
that's what I love, the concept of Smodcast. Like,
yeah.
They didn't have time. They chose to make time just as friends, and it's grown into a thing.
And oh, yeah. That's what I mean by vehicle, is that that's just a vehicle for him to get stoned with his buddy. Like, that's all that is. Mm-hmm. And it's great. It's funny. The ScanBC stuff that they do.
Oh, ScanBC.
ScanBC.
ScanBC Scott.
ScanBC Scott. It's just like, it's the most adorable Canadian stories that you can hear. Like that, what was it? A guy tried to break into a house, and then the lady like locked the window and then took away the ladder. And that's how they caught him. You know, he was just stuck on a roof.
Actually, one of the best ones was talking about with Canada, how instead of their biggest heist value-wise, not money, value-wise, maple syrup.
Yes.
there was some huge heist of maple syrup worth millions. And did they ever find the people? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But it was a huge story. Well, through Smodcast anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to say, my favorite Smodcast episode is the story song episode. What do you remember?
I haven't listened to Smodcast in a while.
It's one where they're talking about the old, like, Red Sauvin trucker story songs.
I don't know.
My God. I was, like, on a fitness jog through my hometown and stopped and took a knee because I was laughing so hard that I could not deal with it.
I have gotten glances because I'm more on the Hollywood Babylon kick these
days. Yes.
So, and I listen to it at work. Whoops.
Well, yeah. I run into that as well at work with a number of different podcasts, but a lot of being Kevin Smith ones, where there's something that just hits you that certain way where you just like, holding holding it. It's like holding in a cough where you start like tearing up a little bit. Oh, like I cannot just guffaw aloud, you know?
Yes.
Mike, if you need to go poop, okay? It's all right.
No, I'm full Garmy as well. Like I'm yes.
Love Garmin.
There has been a couple times when listening to Babylon though that it's a little bit repetitive on occasion. So every so often, and I mean like every so often.
Well, you are talking about fucking pop culture bullshit.
Yeah, but
you
know, I mean it's the same Bowie impression. Yeah, it's just, you know, that exactly. Over and over, and it's one of those that it you know, maybe once or twice a year I'll take a couple weeks off. And then I'll miss it and come back and then I'll and just kind of like a recharge,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which that's fine. That's nothing against the quality of the podcast. It's just, you listen to the same format every single week and occasionally you want to mix it up a little bit.
Well, and what is nice is that they have changed up the format of the show as well over time.
Yeah.
They've taken stuff out. They've added new stuff in.
Yeah.
So it has helped broken up the monotony of it a little bit as well.
Sure, sure.
So
I never take time off, but I have more than 40 podcasts in my playlist, and they're not enough for me. So sometimes I listen to my podcasts over and over again.
Oh, she's got a real problem.
It's hardcore. Yeah. You didn't know?
Is there a podcast anonymous group yet? Because I think we need to start one.
You know what? There should be if there isn't. I'm kind of surprised that there isn't.
I mean, I thought I was bad with like 12 to 15 that I listen to every week.
40 plus? Damn.
Yes, yeah, Mike. You listen to podcasts. 30 people work
40 hours a week. You listen to podcasts. You know what I'm saying? Like it's
you got 36 podcasts in a row.
37.
Sorry.
37 pod.
No, I'm saying Babylon makes it 37.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good save.
Yeah.
If I'm basically not harassing my wife or like trying to put my hands on her or something, it's she's listening to the podcast.
Earbuds in. Right.
Yeah. I'm surprised that you guys haven't, well, I'm just assuming, which is probably making an ass out of you and me, that you guys haven't had sex while she's listening to a podcast.
That hasn't happened yet.
Really?
Oh shit! Did you have the one earbud in? You weren't showing me. Well, there it is.
Damn.
It's the beginning of the end, right there.
Good
She's
God!
Like, all right, just get it.
And on that note, fuck. All right.
How do we
sitting there listening to Edumacation, getting railed. Yeah, that's when she chooses to leave the room.
Yeah,
like drop course. That bomb and just walk out. Like,
yeah,
is that really a thing?
That's how she does.
Damn.
Well, Anthony, I'm looking at the door, make sure she didn't hear me on that one. That means you just set it up right so you can watch a movie while you guys are doing your thing.
Right,
you
only fair.
And but then you just sit there and go down in front.
There you go.
Just throw something on with Adrian Barbeau and be like,
there
baby.
You go.
We did get it on to Nazi mega weapons once.
Wait, holy shit. Me at all.
It was a great episode, and it felt comedically appropriate. We were both kind of in the mood, and...
Oh, that hurts so good. We did get it on to Nazi mega weapon.
I mean, it's a cool-ass show.
That is the name of the episode right there.
Get it on to Nazi Mega.
Yes.
That is not the name of the episode.
Yes, it is. Yes.
It is a good name. It's fucking funny. God damn it. That was funny. Holy shit.
That's fucking beautiful.
Oh.
Hi, Jody.
Well, the hobbit's crying now.
Yeah. we had a shared moment.
Railed to Nazi Mega weapons and he can't handle it.
That was a shared moment.
There you go.
Holy shit. You got this.
God damn it.
Too bad you missed it.
And we talk about that?
Call it Das Groots.
Das Groots.
Das Groots.
Uber Groots.
Uber Groots. You'll be seeing Groots in Dead Snow 3.
Yeah.
Das Uber Groots. What other Kevin Smith-centric podcasts do we listen to?
I listen to Edumacation.
Okay.
I dropped TESD. I dropped TESD after a while because I just tell him Steve Dave. Because it was enjoyable, but once they got the show, all they did was talk about the show, and it wasn't as enjoyable.
That one's hit or miss. Because there are some funny stuff on Tell Him Steve Dave and things like that, but it's definitely... I go to that one when I don't have anything else to listen to. I catch up on that. So
I used to listen to Jay and Silent Bob Get Old. I really enjoyed when Danny Trejo did the guest hosting on.
I haven't heard that one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm behind. All right. I admit I'm behind on episodes personally. So
it's not like you guys have like a kid or something.
I know.
Yeah.
You know,
what? You're just lazy.
Something to take up some of your
time. Trying to raise a human.
Yeah. He'll be two in a week.
Yeah.
Aww, what?
Oh. Two weeks,
I guess, technically. Yeah.
Closer to 2 weeks. But
yeah, but one that I listen to and maybe isn't quite in the realm for Jody is Batman on Batman, which has gone through a kind of a change in recent episodes, which I will get into my feelings on it. Basically, okay. It used to be kind of an interview podcast for people involved with Batman, whether it be people that were affected by Batman or drew or wrote Batman.
Actually worked on some type of Batman story.
No, they've had
people who has Batmaned.
They've had Bill Finger on there. They've had Kevin Conroy. You know, they've had a ton of different writers and illustrators that have worked on Batman that have been on and done interview stuff.
Has he had Mark Hamill on?
I want to say yes, but I can't say for sure.
I feel
like,
because I was gonna say I think he did. Didn't he do I think he may have had an Adam West episode as well.
Really?
Or what? Or was that not Fat Man on Batman?
I don't know, because Ralph is super tight with Adam West, right? With the whole Hollywood Walk of Fame star thing. So
that's right. Yeah. Which there's supposed to be a documentary about that or something, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Recently, Mark Bernardin, who's in the comic book industry as well, was coming on more often, and they didn't really have any real Batman news before Batman v Superman came out. So they started talking about The Flash and Daredevil and you know, other comic-centric subject matter.
Basically, they've gone beyond Batman,
definitely,
from what I've been hearing.
And so a lot of people are complaining that they're not talking just about Batman anymore, but what's come to it is that Mark Bernardin's basically his co-host now.
Yeah.
And they're doing video as well.
Yeah, there's a YouTube channel the Smodco YouTube channel, I think is what he's using.
Which I haven't watched any of the video. Mm-hmm. I've just listened to the audio edit of the video podcast. And honestly, I dig it because I love Batman, but I love a lot more than just Batman. And so them talking about current event nerd stuff, and it's allowing Fat Man on Batman to come out more consistently too, because there'd be times where it'd be like a month before an episode released.
Well, because I mean, unless you're actually doing an episode for each issue coming out, and Batman has how many different issues and different titles,
mm-hmm.
unless you're just sitting there basically talking about the comic book itself every time, mm-hmm. you're going to run out of shit. I mean, that's with any character. It doesn't matter how well it's loved.
Yeah.
I mean,
what I did like, though, is that, like we did with Friday the 13th that released a few days before an actual Friday the 13th, they would do audio commentary tracks that you can play along with the Batman movies. So there's a Batman and Robin, Batman Forever tracks that you can play along with those fuck awful movies. And
that would be fun.
And they are fun. I've done it. And it's definitely a fun time watching Batman with Kevin Smith.
You know? Yeah.
So, okay. No, I could do that. I could do that.
No, it's worth it. Not so much a thing you can just listen to when not watching the movie, though.
Really?
I mean, there's conversational stuff that happens, but it's, you know, out of context with the movie, even if you know the movie well enough to know what part they're at.
Right.
It's still...
Which, who would know Batman and Robin or Batman Forever well enough to know what they're talking about unless you're watching the movie?
People with really terrible taste. I
was going to say.
Hopefully. I've never seen Batman. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
You're fine.
Yeah.
You're
not missing anything.
Is that the one where he had the bat credit card? Was Batman and Robin, I think?
Yeah, it was Batman and Robin.
Which one was Batman and Robin?
Mr. Freeze, Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
And Tommy Lee Jones chewing on every square inch of scenery.
Yes. That was forever. He was in Batman Forever with Val Kilmer. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
We're talking about the one with Mr. Freeze, and Schwarzenegger, and Uma
Thurman as Poison Ivy.
And it was George Clooney
as Batman.
Yeah.
The
nipple suit.
The bat nipples, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
God damn it.
Oh, those nipples.
So, did anybody else listen to the This Morning show when they still had that?
I did.
I heard a few episodes, yeah.
Did you hear the Kurt Sutter one?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely made sure to listen to that one, because I think, because I was listening to Plus One, like, every single episode, and then when they switched to that, I still kept track of it, but when they had people on that, I was like, oh, I definitely want to find out about what Kurt Sutter's doing.
That was a really good episode. Mm-hmm. I actually, one of my best Kevin Smith friend interfaces happened as a result of, I think it was This Morning show. Dude called in. His name is Todsky. He has a Canadian podcast, and I ended up being on his podcast because he was talking about mining oil sands in Canada, and I'm from coal country. So I went on a show and I talked about coal. We talked about the differences of like the coal and oil extractive like resource industries, but I'm still friends with him to this day. And it was just such a cool fucking thing, like to hear another Kevin Smith fan call in and be like, dude, I'm interested in a thing you're interested in. It, like, connected us. It was really cool. I love that show. Yeah. I loved when he could talk to the fans, and like it went on for so long that they had to fill the space with a lot of personnel. Mm-hmm. So
with anything like Kevin Smith, like even when we went and did the Q&A, you look around and it's like, these are my people. You know, anybody that listens to the same podcast that you do or likes the same band that you like, and it's like going to a show and you see some, you know, some metal band that you're really into. And everybody there, it's like, okay, there's at least this one thing that we can all talk about.
Yeah. You know?
And it is a bonding experience because right off the bat, you've got bait for friendship. I mean, just one thing. And usually it's more than one thing that you get along with a person over if there's that one hardline thing that you like.
Yeah, I was wearing a tank top when I went to the super groovy cartoon movie, like Jay and Silent Bob Get Old thing. And I had people run over to me and be like, oh my God, is that a Battlestar Galactica tattoo? Like, is that the United Federation of Planets on your back? Like, immediate tribe.
Oh, absolutely.
Cool.
If you're hearing chuckling out of time with conversations because we have Tusk in the background, it was the first big reveal of Justin Long as the Walrus.
Walrus, yes.
God damn, it is funny.
That's my cousin, yo.
It's so fun. I'm upset that this movie...
It's such a cheesy rubber suit.
It's supposed to be. That's the
thing. Yeah, exactly. It's so cheesy.
It's so ridiculous.
It's awesome.
I mean, it's awesome. If you go into a movie where the whole plot line is like a dude turns another dude into a walrus, that is the basis of this thing, right? And you know that going in, and you see the rubber suit and be like, I'm out of it now. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. What did you think you were going to see?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a movie about a dude turning another dude into a walrus.
The movie plays straight, though.
That's why it's so fucking good.
That's why it's so funny.
That's why it's awesome.
Yeah.
But of all the budget, and it wasn't a big budget.
No.
But I think what was he saying? $3 million for the whole thing?
Yeah, $3 to $5 million. It was something I forget. Like that. Yeah.
I feel like they should have got anyone else, Greg Nicotero, someone just to design a better looking walrus suit. I'm sorry. That's the only thing.
Yeah, Mr.
Everything
Garmin.
About this movie was fucking badass. The walrus suit was just so absurd. I was like,
But they also had to make sure that they had money for Johnny Depp's makeup guy.
That's true. For that,
to do the penis nose.
Yes, to do a penis nose.
With the vein.
Indeed. That's going to cost at least $500,000, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that worth it to me, but, you know, hey.
And this, of course, is the first movie out of the Great White North trilogy.
Right.
Whereas Yoga Hosers is done and is showing at festivals at this point.
Yes,
yeah, he said August or September, I think he said, release.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is going to be apparently really trippy with Nazi sausages.
Bratzies. Went over well with the critics.
Yes,
so. Bratzies, yeah.
Yeah, well, except for the whole nutsack dilemma that dealing with on the rating.
There was a drawing of a nutsack, I think, right?
Yeah, like he said, like a 10-second scene of a drawing of a nutsack on Johnny Depp's character's face on a book.
Yeah.
So it's not even on him, but on a book.
That's utterly ridiculous.
The FPAA is so fucked up. If you ever see that documentary, This Is Not Yet Rated.
Yes.
Yep.
That's just a great documentary.
Iceberg, yeah, that is
so fucked up.
Especially because at the end of it, he had to go to them to get the documentary rated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was the great kicker about that whole thing.
So we're going to get more into this being the first of the Great White North trilogy, but it's also the first Smodco Network films where he got a lot of the financing on his own. It's not, what is it, View Askew or anything?
Because I was looking at our super groovy cartoon movie poster, mm-hmm. and they use one of their just random variations of View Askew
mm-hmm.
for the production name. How 100% do we know is he even using anymore?
I'm not sure, but you know that we're just about at break time, so we'll take a look at that on our break.
The movies.
And we'll come back and we'll talk about just how where he was with movies put him into podcasting, and then where he was with podcasting put him back into movies.
Right, exactly.
That whole process. So, and also talk a little bit about our failed attempt at securing an interview with Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
It was a valiant effort, I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be back in just a second after these messages.
Woohoo!
We are halfway through our Kevin Smith episode of Geeks Under the Influence, and before we continue, let's go over our sponsors and friends of the show. First up is LornaDigital.com. Lorna was nice enough to build a beautiful website for Geeks Under the Influence that you can find at GUIpodcast.com. Check out all her additional work at LornaDigital.com. And if you mention that you heard about her on Geeks Under the Influence, you will get a friends and family discount. She does graphic design and web design work. Next up is Burn in Hell Candles. Our friends build beautiful votive candles. And you might be used to Mary and Jesus and all of that, but are you familiar with St. Lemmy or St. John Waters or St. Divine? They have a Prince candle now as well, of course, because, I mean, if anyone's saintly, it's definitely Prince. So check them out at burninhellcandles.com and let them know that you heard about them on Geeks Under the Influence. Next up are friends of the show. These are other podcasts, video or audio that are friends of ours that have been on or will be on in the near future. First up is River City Shit Show. Our friend Kron, that's been on a number of episodes, that is hanging out drinking all our beer currently.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Has a basically a roasting of popular culture video podcast that you can find on YouTube, where they just talk about like current event stuff, pop culture stuff, and put their own little take on it. Wildly offensive. So if you're into that kind of thing, it's definitely the podcast for you. So check them out on YouTube. Next up is Black Leather Couch. Our friend Carlton was nice enough to invite the Geeks Under the Influence onto his interview video podcast that you can find on YouTube, where we talk about kind of the insights of this podcast. He also has porn stars, rock stars, all sorts of really interesting folks that come on and do interviews with him. So check that out on YouTube at Black Leather Couch. There's also Instant Replay Live. Our buddies do a video game Let's Play where they 10 to 20 minute episodes where they talk about the video games they're playing, make fun of each other. Just a fun video game centric video podcast that you can find on YouTube. 10 to 20 minutes, perfect for your lunch break. So check them out as well. And also, if you like this podcast and want to help out, we are now Amazon affiliates. So you can go to Amazon.com through our link on our website on the homepage. Click the Amazon affiliate link. Any purchases that you make through that link, we get a little bit of a cut. So it's a way for you to support this podcast without putting your money where your mouth is. If you want to put your money where your mouth is, then a better way to do that is through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/GUIpodcast and give us a little bit of support. You are able to become a patron, and from $5 to $50 a month, whatever fits your budget best, you get all sorts of bonus stuff. We've got koozies. We've got voicemail messages from me or Crump where I will say lovely things and Crump will lambaste you. So we've got all sorts of different options depending on your subscription level. So check that out. And also join the conversation on Twitter, Tumblr, all the social media stuff. We have it all covered. Except Swarm. I'm still not quite sure what that is, but we'll figure it out one day. You know, join the conversation. Let us know what you want to hear on future episodes. And speaking of episodes, we are back to our Kevin Smith. Welcome back to the second half of Geeks Under the Influence. And as always, before we continue forward, we're going to talk about what we are drinking. Now, we have a real special beer today that we are passed around to all of our panelists. Red Zeppelin from Blue Mountain Brewery. The brewer that we spoke with at Blue Mountain was nice enough to give us a growler, which is like a can growler, basically a one-use growler for those that aren't aware of Red Zeppelin, which I don't think was even available at the time.
No.
Mm-mm. No. So we got that special treatment.
Yeah, we did.
They actually, both breweries, both Devil's Backbone and Blue Mountain, were very nice, and
they treated us like very well. They were just completely open, like, no, please, like, come in and see and talk to us and like let us nerd out on beer.
If they only knew who you really were.
Right, I'm saying.
That you guys got off lucky. Yeah.
See, we know how to that's how social paths work. See, they mingle and they get in with everyone's society.
Okay. I'm learning.
I saw the can. The can was gigantic. It was like that huge like Foster's oil can.
Oh, it's bigger than a Foster's
can. So what is it? A liter, 750, what's in there?
It's probably about a 40.
Yeah, I'd say a 40 ounce.
Yeah, probably whereabouts, But it's the Red Zeppelin, which is a red ale, hop-infused red ale. And a number of us are not really big hop heads, I guess.
Nah.
It's kind of growing on me, though. It's not like...
But it's not bad.
No, it's sweetness in the backbone of it.
The Red Zeppelin is a red ale infused with hops, but I don't think the hops are overplayed here. I mean, it's definitely... a little hoppier than I would normally go to, but the malt on the red really kind of like balances it well. I wouldn't say it's necessarily sessionable, but
no.
There you go, Jody. No. You're welcome. She loves sessionable.
I have to say, like, when I tried it, I experienced it has notes of soap or detergent, which were exciting and different. And I made a face.
This is coming from, how fond of beer are you?
I hate beer.
Exactly. Yeah. So do not take her opinion into account on this one. Ultimately, I think it is a fun, different beer. It's got hops. It's got a little bit of malt. If you like a red ale and also don't mind a little bit of hop on the back end, then that's the way to go with this one, I think.
You see, you feel the hop comes in. I think the hop is like right in your face at the front. Like the back end, I think the malt takes over because there's a little slight sweetness at the end of it. And I think that's where the malt really kind of helps counteract the bitterness of the hops added
you're,
to it.
No, you're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the hop is definitely more prevalent on the front. The malt is definitely the finish. A lot of the notes, the nose on it is more on the hop side, though. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of that floral kind of hop note from the nose.
Yeah, the news.
The news.
But, I mean, you know, the fact, A, they just, he literally, we just packed up, stopped recording, and he just, like, all right, on a second, and he walks away. We're like, okay, well, we can go out the door. We know how to get out. And, like, he comes back. Here you go, guys. And it's, like, three beers, and this is one of them.
Yep.
Two crowlers and then a bottle.
Yep.
It's badass.
But nice.
That was just really cool. I don't know. Just something special about that. I mean, it's not just something like handing you a beer. It's like, no, like, you guys came, you wanted to see our process, and you wanted to talk to us about it. And, like, here you go. You know?
Right.
And that was really fucking awesome.
But that's with those breweries. I know we talked about how much we liked the breweries before we even met with the brewers, and that is all true. I mean, it's 100% true. We're not going to like back something that we don't believe in. But actually talking with them and actually interacting with the brewers and that whole experience makes me even more of a fan than I was before we got there.
Oh, definitely.
I
mean,
everybody was super nice, super affable, just a really good time.
Did you say super effable, like fuckable?
Oh, my God. They were so cute. Okay. Or maybe I said affable, but
it sounded like you said effable.
Effable.
I heard like affable. I don't know what's wrong with you people.
Happen. The dude on dude sex is only for research for a new brew coming out next fall. Butt stuff will be available at both breweries. That would not sell well at
no.
all.
No.
I think you just drop sales for them and just saying that at this point.
All right. Besides that, I think we're all going kind of on the simple route. Aside from the Red Zeppelin, I'm drinking the People's Beer of Richmond, PBR. And next to me, the Prestons. You guys are taking her easy.
Yeah, I had to take a step back today.
Yeah. Now, you did try the Red Zeppelin. What did you think about that?
Yeah. Go ahead.
It was all right. I'm not much of a beer drinker.
So. Fair enough.
No, Red Zeppelin was good. Yeah. Again, a little too hoppy for my taste, but you can't argue with a good beer in general.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. It's one of those, like, it's good, it's just not my taste kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, if I were to be given a full glass of it, I would drink it.
Sure. Yeah.
Would I purposely buy it? Probably not. But hey.
Yeah.
My opinion.
Fair enough.
And I've also been going on, what was it? You said it was a little bit of the Wild Turkey. I've been sipping on a little bit, trying to, so I can breathe easier in the walrus costume, you know,
right?
Makes it just a little bit more slimming. So yeah, I'm still trying to cough up a lung here. So I've been sticking to the whiskey to numb the pain.
Yeah. And just kind of like knock some of that phlegm off your lungs. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a known expectorant.
It works.
Yeah.
If anybody is ever sick, hot toddies are the fucking solution.
Truth. I haven't had any whiskey at home, so I haven't.
No. Yeah, that'll do it.
As they say, among my people, it'll cure what ails ye.
Yes, very true.
Yes.
Although they call it medicine out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, take my medicine.
Special time.
Actually, now that I think about it, I do have some mason jars that are full.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are they still full?
Because my two-year-old doesn't drink like a champ yet. I mean, you got to start small, man.
You got to build up that tolerance.
Yeah. You
know? Right now, he's just taking a little whiskey on his gums.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't use a pacifier anymore, but when he did, you know, you just dip a little bit, you know, in the pacifier. And
there you go, man.
No.
Right. See, these are parents. They've done it
all the time. Generations have done that. It's fine.
Jen, you need to go full Jen and say, shut the fuck up, motherfucker.
I don't know.
Yep. You got this.
Shut the fuck up, motherfucker.
Yes.
There you go.
I will make that a special ringtone for you, Scotty. So.
I'm actually a little chubby right now.
Yeah, probably. So.
That got me going.
She went full Schwalbach.
I'll send you a picture of my underwear.
Ooh, yes. Laying on the bed.
Yep.
Your maroon underwear?
My maroonum.
Maroonum. Jody, what are you drinking on besides the detergent beer, as you said.
So I had a little bit of Cascade, and then I'm drinking a screwdriver with cheap vodka because, hey, I'm Yankee Blue Jeans. That's what I do.
It's class.
Girl, you know that I'm class.
Oh, yeah. Classy as fuck. Speaking of classy, Mr. Groots, what are you drinking on over there?
Well, I started off the day with some screwdrivers because it is brunch.
It's,
I
mean, Sunday, it's fun
Sunday,
day.
Yeah. You know, fun day. But I am drinking a bottle of Bullet Bourbon right now.
An airplane bottle.
You fucked up my joke, man. I was going to be like, and I'm going to finish this bottle in a few minutes from start to finish. But yeah, it's an airplane bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry we screwed up your amazing joke.
That was such a good joke. Like, that would have been the killer of the episode, was that brilliant joke.
Truly stolen, because it was a promo bottle that was attached to a different bottle in the ABC store, and I just kind of were buying.
Oh, fair enough.
So, you know, I mean, it's like free shit for this thing is now free shit for this thing, and yeah, whatever.
As you do.
Shit. I don't feel bad about it.
I mean, it's just like, you know, changing price tags on clothing. I mean, it's not really stealing. It's only
not really,
you know,
because this was free. This was free to begin with. It just it ended up being free with the thing that I was buying.
You just manifest destinied your airplane bottle.
That's the best way to freaking.
You just went full Sawyer.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It was destiny, and I'm enjoying it now. So
yeah, we've moved on to putting Chasing Amy in the background as we're recording.
Yeah.
As Jody Sieg Heiled for some reason.
What are you? Smith movie. Well, she did marry the German.
That's
so
true. Oh, it's rubbing off on
is
her.
This is like, is this like part of you now? Is this, you know?
Ever since Nazi Mega Weapons.
I was about to say, was it a certain episode that you watched?
I'm sorry, Mommy. No, I was raising my hand because I had the great idea to put this great movie on, so fuck you.
Your mom doesn't still listen to this, does she?
I hope not.
I really hope nobody's parents listen to this.
If I wanted to be disowned, yes.
Yeah, right. I have a feeling. I've told my mom not to listen to this, and my mom's very open-minded and actually got a good sense of humor about things, but still, you know, like, I feel better knowing that she's not listening to this shit show. But she's made some comments here and there where I think she's secretly listening.
Oh, no.
So, Lori, turn off your friggin' podcast.
Every time that Crump makes a Lebanese joke, I'm like, God damn it. My mom cannot be listening.
I'm treading enough water with just telling my folks that we, you know, even do this.
Mm-hmm.
My mom just wouldn't give a shit. So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
My dad wouldn't get it, and my mother would probably be a little...
Yeah. So we're secretly hiding this podcast from a number of our parents.
Yes, it makes me feel 16 dirt. Again.
Yeah.
It makes me feel 16 when you had to smuggle in, like, well, in my day it was a cassette.
A cassette?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But you couldn't let them know what you were listening to.
Yeah, early on, I remember smuggling in Slayer's Rain in Blood.
Yeah, and, yeah. Perfect example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But also at that moment where my mom walked into my room after I was like 14, and she's like, you can listen to whatever you want to. And she came in as Code Blue by TSOL was playing.
Ooh.
Nice.
And just as it was like, I want to fuck the dead. And she just like stopped, forgot what she was going to ask me, and just turned around and left.
Nice. Well done.
There you go. Yeah. That will do it.
Groots has got the bullet. What are you drinking on Lowdown?
So, no, I started off with Yingling, and then I had a sample of the Red Zeppelin, which, again, was, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know. What I've been sipping on in between that was it's called Chin Music by Center of the Universe Brewing Company out of Ashland, Virginia. So East Coast local. It's a good sessionable beer.
Very much so.
It's an amber lager. Mm-hmm. It was actually made for the Richmond Squirrels baseball team. So it's a fun beer.
Oh, yeah. The Flying Squirrels, which they are just getting underway with their new season.
Yeah, their season just started like last week or the week before.
Something like
that. Season started. So I've only been to that brewery once.
I've been there two or three times, I think.
The area it's in, though, it's kind of like up and coming industrial area. Like it's almost like what Scott's Addition is, but Scott's Addition's already been developed. Where it is in Ashland is similar to that, but it's not like moving anywhere. It's kind of just staying the same.
Well, Ashland's like, there's so many other towns like this that are just like big city adjacent. You know, it's not technically part of Richmond. It's its own little thing, but it's close enough that it might as well be.
Yeah, Ashland's like 15 minutes away.
Yeah, 15, maybe 20 minutes. Yeah. It's not bad at all, but it's definitely worth checking out if you've not been up there. They have, like all the other breweries, they have a bunch of brews that they do just at the brewery that isn't available elsewhere that is definitely worth checking out. The El Dudorino was one that I was going to bring up. Yeah, El Dudorino is fantastic.
White Russian stout. Ooh.
Yeah, that's on point.
Ooh.
Nice.
So good.
Yeah, that's what we're drinking. And on to more talk about Kevin Smith.
What's a Nubian? Bitch, you almost made me laugh.
Obviously, yeah, chasing Amy in the background. But let's talk a little bit about our dynamic plan to try to get an interview with Kevin Smith that unfortunately did not work out. Not for any, like, no negative speaking on Kevin Smith on that. It's just he's a busy dude.
Well, I mean, I would say first off, he, as much as he, especially in the early days, said that, you know, he's a press whore. Let's, shall we say, legitimate press?
Yeah, fair enough.
So
there's nothing legitimate about this podcast at all.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. I thought you just fucked this up, Hobbit.
Oh, the interview?
Yeah.
How did I fuck that up?
I don't know.
I just assumed. Yeah, that's I can't even be mad at that. Like, no, that's a fair assumption. But, initially our plan was that our friend Mike Dirks, Ballsack from Gore, allowed us the opportunity, if it worked out, to get Kevin Smith to come to Guar Bar before it opened for the day and sit down with us and do an interview, which was a nice dangling carrot, you know, for Kevin Smith. And I contacted several email addresses for different podcasts that he's on because there is no direct email address available.
Never will be either.
No, I doubt it. And to be fair.
No. I mean,
I get it.
You're lucky enough to even have his phone number. There's probably like five people that actually have his direct line know who he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure he has an email address. We just don't fucking know.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But luckily, I contacted Hollywood Babylon. They retweeted my tweet to them, to Kevin Smith, and said, you know, well, hopefully your dreams will come true. Very nice. And a couple of posts that I made on Twitter, Kevin Smith liked. So he saw them. And I think it came down to, because even Jameson from Guar was in the crowd and was one of the guys that asked a question.
Yep.
Which was a very, like, very kind of Politico type answer there. He asked, when is Kevin Smith going to do a Guar movie? Which I got a little happy at the thought of that. But then, then thinking further, and Kevin's response was, that's your story to tell. I can't tell that story. You need to tell that story.
Yeah. You don't need me for that. You don't need me is what he kept saying.
Yeah.
Which, like, solid answer. I mean, that's a decent answer.
Well, the same reason.
Very graceful way to shut that shit down, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about, like, the first evening with Kevin Smith, you know, when he talks about doing that Prince documentary, he's like, I have no fucking idea what I'm doing. Yes. He's just telling the cameraman, film it. And that's it. He doesn't know what to do with the documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Has anyone seen that?
No.
It's not
out. No, it's one of those. Apparently, a lot of people didn't realize it with Prince. He has literally a vault of shit that will never see the light of day.
Well, and that.
Huh? It might now. There was rumor or something where Kevin Smith said in another evening with that part of the documentary was used as a promo for the Jehovah's Witness, I think.
What?
Yeah, because Prince was Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
And apparently was a big-time, like, promoter of it, and apparently used some of the material from the documentary on, like, a commercial or something for Jehovah's Witness.
I want to say, like, take the time, like, Prince died.
Yeah.
And
God damn it.
Thanks for rubbing salt in that wound, motherfucker.
I know. But I put together a really quick, like, last minute sort of like little double feature thing, you know. I have these occasional movie nights at my house, and we showed Graffiti Bridge, which was like the quasi sequel to Purple Rain, and then of course 1989's Batman, because he did like the songs for that.
Fuck yeah, he did.
And it was fun.
That was a good time.
I couldn't make it out to that, but like last minute Saturdays for me are like.
And Graffiti Bridge is basically it's a terrible fucking movie.
Relevant. Yeah,
it is.
I mean,
I don't know.
I enjoyed
it. It's like Prince versus Morris Day and the Time, and they just fucking duel basically the whole movie.
So it's like Prince Civil War, where
Morris Day
and Prince going at it.
Is it as bad as Under the Cherry Moon? Because that was pretty bad.
That was supposed to be like because it was all black and white and shit. Yeah. This one was cheesy, so it was a little more palatable, I guess.
Mm.
But you know,
I mean, I've seen Graffiti Bridge, but like comparatively for me, like that's way better than Under the Cherry Moon. Under the Cherry
Prince
Moon was...
wrote and directed this, so it's basically a feature length movie music video.
I must say,
yeah,
I must say, Graffiti Bridge was my favorite Kevin Smith movie. So we're We're right on topic.
Well, he wanted to throw, you know, because Prince just passed, and it's, you know.
I did pour one out for his homie.
You know.
I did think it was weird when Jay and Silent Bob showed up during the big like standoff between Morris Day and Prince, like in Graffiti Bridge. That was
that was awesome.
Yeah, when Jungle Love was playing,
yeah. Yes.
Jay was like, oh,
wee, oh, wee, oh. Yeah, just like that.
That's why just they were paying like tribute at the end of Jay and Silent Bob well, Strike Back. A little because it was just like, oh, man, I remember you from back in the day.
Little known fact is that that Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back is the official sequel to Graffiti Bridge.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I never thought of it that way.
It's like 20 years later, you know, they're starting to get the band back together, Blues Brothers style, and
nice.
And tour the country.
And to think that's where like Mark Hamill and Will Ferrell got.
Yeah, totally.
Awesome,
yeah,
man.
Definitely.
Fucking amazing.
They didn't do anything before that.
No.
No, not at all.
Yeah. I can't recall anything seeing them in before Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
No.
No.
Well, I don't recall a single significant thing I saw Mark Hamill do before
nope,
that.
Not at all. Nope.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, his career started with Cock Knocker.
Well, I mean, there was that Corvette Summer incident, but that was way
before.
Oh.
No, mainly.
It wasn't a cartoon for a while.
That's really.
Oh, that is true. The cartoon.
My Little Pony or something. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't he Gargadel?
Gargamel.
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 Yeah.
Gargadel is
Gargadel.
Like. Gargamel
the fact
is
that
like.
I fucked it up gives me more kudos as a man that you that Gargamel was the name for My Little
Fuck
Pony.
Fuck your life. Smurfs is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. You're getting your cartoons mixed.
I am.
Bro.
I'm getting my cartoons
Mike,
mixed
I
up.
I think you meant to say Smurf your life.
Yes. That is
Don't
what you meant.
Yourself.
Smurf you in your Smurf hole.
Smurf yeah. you and the horse you smurfed in on.
Oh, God damn it.
Are you going to go watch a Smurf show later?
I'm smurfing out of here.
So, yeah, we tried to get in touch with Kevin Smith, and I think that if he had the time or the opportunity, he probably would have been down to do it, because that's just the kind of guy that he is. But unfortunately, we were not able to secure an interview with him. What we did get out of it, though, is Jody being able to ask him a question during, which we went over earlier.
Woo-hoo.
And honestly, just a genuinely good night. I mean,
oh yeah,
it was a lot of fun. But what I want to talk about going into the second half is kind of the weird path that his career took, where he, of course, blew up with Clerks.
Coming full circle, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. And coming back to it on his own
coming
terms.
Coming full circle all over your face, neck, and chest.
Yes.
I think.
You're right.
In the spirit of the man,
yeah,
I must
enough.
Say.
Truth.
So part of the reason that he dove as deeply into podcasting as he did was because of Cop Out and kind of where movies were going for him at that time. And he just kind of needed a break from it. So he was really considering not doing films again after that.
Actually, he had blatantly said,
yeah,
I am not doing a movie ever again.
Yeah, yeah. And
because Bruce Willis is mean.
Yep.
You also got to go with the calling, man, you know.
Yeah. What was the year of the cinematic release dates for that? Was it?
Yeah, Red State was after Cop Out. That was his first.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, first movie he did.
What year did that come out, though? Red State.
Give me a mo.
I want to say 2011 or 2012.
Yeah, 2011, I think.
And it was really podcasting that got him, like, kept him on the map and kept him relevant and got him back into the idea of maybe doing movies again. And it's so weird that something that you escape one career into another career sends you back to that same career at the end,
yeah,
but in a very different manner. He's not doing, although he's talking about, you know, Mallrats and 2 and Clerks 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's going to revisit back to the View Askewiverse. But
Mallrats 2, Die Hard in a Mall.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Die Hard in a Mall.
Sorry.
Which yes, take all of my money. Yeah. Take my money. Take my friend's money. Just take all of the money.
Well, I'll be the first one to say, like, you know, I haven't listened to all the podcasts, so I did not know that Jay and Silent Bob were going to be in Moose Jaw. So that was a fucking cool mm-hmm. ass revelation for me.
Actually,
I
didn't even
shit.
Realize that one either. So
that's awesome.
So just to follow up, Cop Out was 2010, Red State was 2011, and then Tusk was 2014.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So
I will say, though, even though when he went back into film, though, you're seeing a different Kevin Smith, and that's what's awesome about it. Is like you're getting, oh wow, okay, like you don't mind taking these risks and going way out in left fucking field and still making a damn good cinematic movie. Like, you know, your Tusk was awesome. You know?
Red State
In Red State, yes.
Red State is everything.
Oh my God,
I cannot.
Yeah,
it's so goddamn good, and you can't even really. It doesn't have that the same degree of Kevin Smith stank on it. except in parts of the dialogue. The end scene, definitely. Yeah,
oh, the dialogue. That will be his peak always.
Yeah.
How the characters talk to each other. You could play a movie just the sound, and depending on how the people are talking, you can almost bet if it's a Kevin Smith movie or not.
That is very true.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Yeah. Or Tarantino.
Tarantino. Dialogue, man. Dialogue.
Dialogue whore right here.
Mm-hmm. I got to say, Jody and I had a fight about Red State.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Nazi mega weapons.
Because we both love the movie.
Title, man, I'm telling you.
But yeah. I was like, this is not a Kevin Smith movie, which makes it great because he has stepped outside of his box. And she was like, but it is a Kevin Smith movie. So it was like, it was kind of a semantics argument, which really didn't matter, you know?
That last scene with Bus Driver Stu from The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Pete okay. Pete, yes.
Yeah.
Just waiting for the follow through.
Yeah. But come on. Like, the whole movie doesn't play Kevin Smith's trope, but his stank be on it.
But he made a fantastic movie that was so far from his wheelhouse.
Exactly.
And that makes it impressive because that shows that he has like more talent than we were led to believe. Because, I mean.
Damn.
I'm serious. That sounds bad.
No, and we did cover that a little bit.
He made an amazing like indie film early on, and he made a few like pretty good films. I love Dogma to death. He made a couple. I'm not a fan of Jersey Girl.
This is one of these podcasts where Anthony's Zach not Mary, trying though. To get laid. Later,
yeah, fair
just
enough.
Like, by the way,
but Zach and Mary, bro. I forgot about Zach and Mary. Zach and Mary was damn good.
Zach and Mary was fantastic.
But even he has said that he was trying to make a Judd Apatow film when he did Zach and Mary. So
yeah.
I love that movie. I think it's hilarious. A great fucking movie. And the weird, like, very minor fucking cameo by Tom Savini.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Just, like, out of the book. Because, I mean, it's set in, like...
Jersey.
No, it's set
in... No. Zach and Mary is in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, it is in Pittsburgh. Yeah,
the Monroeville Zombies.
So, what's his face from... that shows up drunk while they're filming.
Yeah, yeah. He's a. What the fuck is his name?
Tail and Tuck. Dale and Tucker.
Yeah.
Tucker and Dale.
Tucker and Dale versus
Tucker
Evil.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Whatever.
Yeah.
Which has been greenlit for a sequel, and I'm stoked as fuck because that movie is great.
Sucking football.
Yeah.
He said when he came in there.
Yeah. That was
hilarious.
I love that guy.
Yeah. That movie was great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Regardless, he made Red State, which was fucking fantastic, and it was such a different movie for him, and I applaud that. You know, it just, when we were having this discussion, it wasn't a Kevin Smith movie. It has become a Kevin Smith movie because he has taken his career in a direction.
It was by definition a Kevin Smith movie. What the fuck are you even
because
saying?
His name was on it?
We is don't need to have about? This fight again.
What you're saying is it didn't fit into the view of Skewiverse.
Right. It was completely different. From everything else he had made before.
Neither does the episode of fucking, what was it, Pushing Daisies or Reaper that he did an episode
Reaper,
yeah. He did the pilot episode.
He did the pilot, which was the best episode of the series.
Yeah,
I lost interest a few after.
Even with Sam Wise, or not Sam Wise.
Ray Wise.
That's Ganji.
Ray Wise.
But regardless, I mean, his career is really kind of an interesting trajectory.
He's matured so much. Right. Like, Red State was a demonstration of how much he has matured and how he is able to get outside of his box and, like, tell a story with influences from other places than his fucking wheelhouse, which is amazing.
Well, I think...
That doesn't mean it's not a Kevin Smith movie.
Oh, I was going to say, that's what he talked about when we saw him, was he's like, I was able to... go outside of like what I like experiences, like what I know and what I dealt with and grew up with. Like, that's exactly what I think those movies proved to him, was being able to do that, you know?
Well,
like,
because he didn't have a story left to tell.
Exactly.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying is that, I mean, it's progressed because even though Red State wasn't the first his story to tell, look at all the stuff between him and his wife. Religion has always been a key thing in his life, always. Obviously, and if you're any type of sane person, the Westboro is fucking nuts.
That's clearly who they're going after.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and that's, and I think
that's safer to make fun of than making fun of Trump. And that's easy.
Like, oh, yeah, true. True.
Like, wait, you guys have a problem with them? Like,
No. I know you're from the mountains, but you don't have to vote for Trump. I'm telling you. I mean, it's like, I know your people will, although but you don't have to.
I want that t-shirt, Westboro Baptist Church for Trump. I want that fucking t-shirt.
That's a really good idea.
I would wear the shit out of that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Anybody prints that shit, you owe us money.
Yeah. Well, no. Right. Anybody prints that shit, go for it. Just send us some.
Oh, okay. We just won't.
Send us some Westboro?
No, not them. No, they can stay where they are. Yeah. I mean, the t-shirts.
Yeah, we do need target practice, so please send us some Westboro.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's true. That's fuck. True.
Girl, if the Westboro Baptist Church picketed one of our podcasts, we would raise our profile. I'm just saying.
Oh, that
is true. That's true, though. That's selling out at the same point. But yes, please come protest us.
All right, I'm going to say right now, Westboro Baptist, we love fags here. We do.
Big fag lovers, yeah.
We love them.
Yeah.
And Satan.
Hobbit loves all the cock.
And
I have to say, clearly I do not love fags. Oh. It's not a thing for me.
Fruit fly for years.
It's fine. Yeah.
No, as we're watching two girls make out in Chasing Amy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As I call you a bitch every day and say Yas Queen to you because I've...
Yas Queen is a new acquisition for me. You've said Yas Bitch for a while, and I'm honestly unaffected by Yas Queen. It was just a new one. Like, oh, okay, we're taking a turn further into that.
My wife's level of fag haggery has exponentially grown in the last few months.
Hanging out with Hobbit?
No. Not with Hobbit.
Sir.
No,
that would probably go in the other direction, but no. I think this was inevitable. You know, it was just, you know, she has her, you know, her boys. Aww. And I listen to lots of show tunes.
You're still not going to get laid tonight. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about how much you love Fun Home and my jazz hands?
Oh, yeah. That's what I got to experience last night. And that was because I was being punished. She said that as she's typing it up. You're being punished right now. And typed it up. And it's this girl singing to a chick at a desk about, like, how her fucking dungarees are really pretty. Like, about, like...
Whoa.
She's like, I like that you're a girl that I think is pretty, and I'm a girl, says, and...
I think you're beautiful. No. Handsome.
Like, lead isn't heavy enough to be as heavy as that hand was on that. Oh. It's so fucking heavy-handed. Okay. Jesus Christ.
Okay. All the jazz hand. Kevin Smith, though?
No jazz hands because it's so heavy-handed you couldn't lift the hands to jazz hands. There's the dad joke.
Mm.
There it is. It just happened just there.
Yeah. After we had to point out that you hadn't made one, you had to like...
I was really upset with myself and I needed to rectify the situation.
Exactly. Yes. Saying.
Yes.
Whenever like a lead balloon.
Mm.
Ooh.
She just one-upped me on dad jokes. God damn it. Yeah. God damn
Everyone has been crushing you on those. The last, like, five episodes. Yeah.
You have a disappointed look. Like
I do, man. As much as you bitched about having a shtick, that was it, and then you just failed.
I wasn't saying it was my shtick. It was going to happen naturally anyway.
I'm looking for this thing, yada, 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 and that was your thing, unbeknownst to you, because apparently you kept looking, and you've looked so far that you just, like, bypassed your fucking self.
Bypassed the dad jokes.
So, we were discussing Red State. Scotty was making some salient points.
The man has progressed. I mean, that's...
Best word. I mean, that's what he's done.
He has, because... Because let me take a half step back. Like, again, like I was saying, Red State was the first one that he did where it wasn't his story, which I think also helped going into Tusk, where... I think that's what truly clicked in his head to where he could write, direct, make a movie where it didn't have to involve his friends, but he still knew how to tell a story.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like it proved himself that he can still do this.
Right.
Even though he's run out of personal material.
Exactly.
And that's I feel like it's a huge step for a director. You know, especially one like him who was, like we've talked about, like extreme shut-in, at least when he first started doing this too. Like he was very introverted.
Right.
You know, you know, to see where he's gone to, it's, you know, like...
He's talked about this.
Yeah.
About how, like, he's told all his stories and he doesn't have any story to tell. So then he goes this kind of wayward path and tries directing Cop Out and, like, dealing with...
Go ahead.
No. tries directing Cop Out and tries like doing Zack and Miri, which where he was basically aping Apatow because he didn't feel like he had his own story left to tell.
Yeah.
And then he was like, fuck, I don't have to do this. Like,
well, again, that's also where it comes full circle. Like, well, we were bringing up this part of the subject where he had all these podcasts that he was involved with. Guess where the ideas started coming from? Hence going into Tusk and now the
Yoga Hosers.
Yoga Hosers, the True North Trilogy.
And Moose Jaws, all of them. Yeah. All of them born of the podcast.
But I think part of the reason why he felt comfortable going back into film again was the whole fact that part of the reason he came out of it was critics and being affected too much by criticism. Or, you know, being in a position where he's not
especially
making...
Especially early on.
Especially early on. Yeah. But down to the point where he was making stuff that he wasn't confident in anymore. I mean, Zack and Miri was great, but it wasn't his film. It was him doing a Judd Apatow film. Cop Out was not his baby, but he was just a director attached, and it was a fucking tire fire.
He was just being abused by Bruce Willis.
So he leaves that being completely just disillusioned by filmmaking... And goes into podcasting where he can do whatever the fuck he wants to, and nobody's his boss.
Yeah.
He's his own boss. There's no FCC regulations. There's no anything. And he thrives. I mean, talk about thrive. Like, him and Nerdist are, like, the be-all, end-all as the far podcast. As podcasting
for
goes.
Marin.
And Marin. People, yeah, Marin, too.
For people who... Because, again, like I know I mentioned this the other night, too, but he mentions it on his other Evening With and everything... You put Kevin Smith on a one-on-one conversation beside someone like his wife or whatever, or in a group of like three or four people, he clams up. And I'm sure some of that has changed, but like what we saw in other Q&As that Jennifer and I have been to and everything, you put him in a crowd of 500 plus people, he will talk all fucking night and be totally comfortable. It's just that really weird, like, hey, here's a story. Well, if he's with Scott Mosier doing Smodcast... And he's able to talk for however long he wants to.
And let laugh him be. And have fun. And that's what's so exciting about it. It's like you get to experience joy with him. You get to experience him like loving the people that he loves and having fun and shooting the shit. Just like we do with our friends, which is what has made it so endearing to me.
Well, and that's, I think, why, aside from the fact that Tusk came out of an episode of Smodcast... The spirit of his podcasting is what he's directing now. I mean, he's just having fun. His whole conversation about Johnny Depp talking about the dick nose and Tusk, and him be like, "Do you mind if I have a nose that looks like a dick?" And he's like, "Oh, that's great." And then talking about like the gauge of his accent, and he wanted to turn it up to 11. Kevin was like, "Absolutely." It's more about having fun and making fun films.
It's about why not.
Exactly.
That is the watchword that Kevin Smith has given me that I do not live by, but I should. Like, in Tough Shit, he talks a lot about you have friends who say why, and you have friends who say why not. And Kevin's living by why not at this point.
And that's
it's fucking beautiful.
Probably the biggest term to go with podcasting in general is why not? Why not do it? I mean, what are you wasting your time on otherwise? You know, might as well.
Yeah.
Because who fucking cares at the end of the day? I mean, if you have fun doing it, then fucking do it.
I think that's one of the biggest points that I got from this whole thing. And I actually want to, because I know kind of how Jody feels on this, but I actually want to, like, put this to Jen. As a speaker, as kind of like a motivational speaker, what do you get from Kevin Smith?
Well, I mean, just, I don't, Kevin Smith, I think he's amazing. And, like, the show... was actually pretty emotional for me, just because he seems like such a good, kind-hearted man, and he wants all of his fans to do well and go out and follow their dreams, and it's really just, it's amazing, and I'm trying to, like, learn from him and try to get more open to doing things. That's partly why I'm here, because I'm a big, shut-in, shy person who doesn't like to
which is fine, because I think that's kind of how he was, but, like, I feel like it hits, I know it hits Jody super personally.
Mm-hmm.
So is that kind of your connection as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's partly why I love him so much now is just because, like, I don't, like, movie's great, but just how kind he is and the things he talks about on, like, his podcasts and stuff, besides being funny, are just really personal, and I love it.
You feel like you're a part of his family.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is super amazing. Like, that's one of the things I love about podcasts. They're so, like, close and emotional. Some of the shit, like, when you listen to his podcast after the Southwest incident, I cried my eyes out. Like, and that is so raw, and that is so real. And that's such a channel for somebody to express something that's important to them that they're never going to express in a movie.
Yeah.
Or, like, directing an episode of The Flash. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
As much fun as that must have been.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit, dude. God.
So I finally started watching The Flash because of...
That's right, just the other day, yeah. too.
Yeah. Scott's been trying to get me to watch it, and I was like, yeah, I might. Because, I mean, I like comic books and stuff.
I don't know nothing.
He's a good husband because that show is just delightful.
Yeah, I told her don't worry about Arrow
other than crossover episodes. I watched a little bit of Arrow, and I like Arrow, fun but too. I was just like, the show...
Yeah, it's so hit or miss.
It didn't really catch me, so I was like, yeah, I'm not worried about it. And then, you know, with CW, I don't really trust it.
Too much shirtless talking towards the camera away from people.
Right.
Like, yeah.
But yeah, I started The Flash a couple days ago. I was going to watch the Kevin Smith one regardless because it's Kevin Smith, but I figured I might as well start it. And it's really, really good. I've watched like 5 episodes
it's
so far.
It's fun, right? It's a good, fun hour of your life.
Yep.
Every episode, just fun for an hour.
And it's one of the few, because even with as popular as Arrow, Flash has actually stayed pretty legit to a lot of the source material.
Oh, it's very, it honors the source material seriously.
Very much so. I mean, you know, just even down to the details and the, which I had noticed and I thought about it, but it wasn't until I heard something about it later. And the police station, the big gold mural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You realize what that is. That's the Justice League.
Yeah.
And all that. So it's just like, oh shit. They're giving these little pointers, like just throwing out little nods.
They always show
everywhere.
It to you, like whenever they do like a pan into that main foyer where that's
and,
at.
And they usually have it right there.
They usually
yeah.
have that huge, where they have a huge camera angle of the entire piece. They never just like shoot in low. Like they always give you that one shot of it as a whole, you know?
I just love always. That. I was into The Flash from episode one. Like, I saw it when it premiered and
sold.
Was,
one and done, like,
sold 100%. But what Kevin Smith talks about is that when Jason Mewes was telling him that King fucking Shark was on
it
and that it was good, he's like, it was good? King fucking Shark? And Gorilla Grodd was another one that
Grodd was awesome.
I thought it was awesome, but I actually thought Grodd was... I thought they could have actually done better with Grodd.
Grodd's coming back. Grodd's not done.
Oh, no, like, no, I know
because
he is,
they put him to the alternate...
they put him on
Earth
the other
2,
Earth.
Yeah.
Earth
yeah.
2 with all the other gorillas. Mm-hmm. So...
Gorilla City.
Gorilla City is coming. So
Grodd
and you know that's next season. They're going to hit up Gorilla City.
Yeah,
like, there's no way they're not.
Exactly. They're setting up and... Exactly. The thing about that, I was talking to somebody else earlier about that today. The whole multiverse they opened up with The Flash.
I thought that was
fucking
so
beautiful.
Smart.
Perfect.
Fucking beautiful. To the point, and I know I think I'm the only person in this room that watches fucking Supergirl, but I'm finally caught up and I'm through the first season and everything. And I've always said it's not a series that was meant for me. It is meant for teenage girls. That being said, you cannot judge something because you're not the right fucking audience for it. But
so you're a teenage girl?
I pretend to be when I'm watching fucking Supergirl.
Fair enough.
Because it's a solid show.
Okay,
it's a very solid show.
I haven't even had a chance to watch anything.
But
so.
With the multiverse, what that opened up is the opportunity that on two different networks, owned by the same parent company, obviously, they did a crossover with Supergirl and The Flash.
I did see about that.
And The Flash was on Supergirl, and it was like, Kevin Smith talked about this too. I think it was Kevin Smith. No, it was another podcast I listened to. It's like watching puppies playing for an hour. It's the most adorable thing that I've ever seen on television. The Flash and fucking Supergirl being adorable as shit and being buddy-buddy. And they're like, oh, we are cute. You know, just for an hour.
Right.
Of just like super fucking cute. And I didn't give a shit about the plot line at all. Not that it was a bad plot line. I just didn't give a shit because they were busy being cute as fuck. And I was like, yes, I just want them to just like play patty cake for an hour. And I would watch the shit out of it. It was great.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
So would Kevin Smith.
So would Kevin Smith, definitely.
Would you actually watch this one or were you on your phone half the time?
I actually watched that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
I do that from time to time.
Just checking.
I've got so much social media to handle that I'm going back
your
to that.
Struggle
old...
is very real.
Yes. Talk about
first
like,
world problems, guys. First
serious
world problems.
First yeah. world problems.
Jesus Christ.
My hobby podcast is allowing me the need to be on my fucking smartphone while I'm watching my giant television.
Even though he was on that before the podcast yeah. a year and a half ago. All so right, it's really
right,
just,
right.
you know,
right.
him just having an excuse now versus being a social whore.
Speaking of the podcast, like one thing that we were like silently high-fiving each other when Kevin Smith was on is that he always tends to, with his Q&As, get kind of inspirational and talk about just
very
do it. Just do it. I mean,
very.
Yeah.
If you want to do a
why
thing.
Why not?
Why not? Like you were saying. And he went that route. And as somebody that why nodded a year ago and started Geeks Under the Influence.
God damn.
I've heard a fucking year ago. We've done this for a fucking year at this point.
Think about like our second episode was a horror episode. I remember mm-hmm. I remember sitting around the couch with the table with a room mic.
A shitty, shitty room mic.
Yeah.
And I think there was a room mic, and then I think I had the one vocal
you had
mic.
The one, because you're the host. You had
yeah,
the one vocal mic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, like, the first few episodes, we, like, everyone else besides the host had a room mic. And he tried to, like, you know, egg carton soundproof around it and shit. And,
which
like,
did barely anything. And
But I'm just saying, like, you know, then, you know, by episode, like, 10 or 11, he had like, multiple vocal mics for everyone that's on. You
yeah.
know, like, it's just the progression. Yeah. Like, it's...
And then once we got away from the room mic, the sound got better. And then I learned some tricks here and there just from viciously reading.
And the sound got better.
And the sound got better. And then now we switched over to a multi-track recorder, which makes it so much easier to edit. And the sound is like...
Way better.
Way better.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the thing that he was trying to portray when he was talking during the Q&A is that you just have to keep doing it. Like it's not a matter of like you're not gonna be perfect right off the bat. You just gotta keep going. You gotta keep doing it. You gotta like
it's that Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can't say that I've spent 10,000 hours at this point in this podcast, but I've definitely spent probably 1,000 hours, if not a couple thousand hours between
editing. So you're probably
you're on your way.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Right there.
I mean, considering we've got like almost 3 days worth of audio on the internet of like finished audio, never mind the audio we recorded and all that,
yep.
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an undertaking. Anybody that is seriously thinking about doing a podcast, I mean,
why not?
Do it. Definitely do it, but commit to it. Because honestly, I would say don't be like me and do a panel episode with a bunch of fucking drunk assholes, because that's like going, I don't know how to swim. I'm going to jump off this boat in the middle of the ocean and hopefully it works out. Like, it's the worst way to start podcasting. Get a USB mic, plug it into your fucking computer, and have two people sitting on opposite ends of that USB mic talking to each other, and it's going to sound better than most of the episodes we've released it, because it's that easy.
Yeah, just go full Stuff You Should Know or The Dollop.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
That's all you need to do. If you want to go this route, it's going to cost you a lot more money and a lot more time and a lot more research and a lot more learning, but ultimately, it was worth it. 100%. And that's what Kevin Smith was saying, is that it is worth it, that making something, anything, if it's a fucking basket you wove, it's worth it, because you made a thing, you know? And we were, like, high-fiving each other quietly over there, just like...
He went full Tony Robbins.
Oh, he like, Tony Robbins the fuck.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, ever since he's been doing Q&As, he's always... His little quote, you know, is to whip out the message or whatever, which he's done in his movies. But I think when he started mentioning about how it was when he finally got to work with George Carlin,
mm-hmm.
and the way, I mean, because if anybody is halfway human, George Carlin is a fucking smart, smart, smart man.
He's a legend.
Oh,
yeah. And, you know, because he went the way of comedy, that man could have schooled any college, done any career that he wanted to. Mm-hmm. That man was smart enough to do it. And that's the way I think Carlin was, is that you can sit there and you can make people laugh all fucking night, but if they take away that one thing of just like that light bulb going off on the top of their fucking head when they walk out the door, that's all you need. You did your job.
Everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, Kevin has become, and I think I've heard him use this terminology, I don't think I'm pulling this from the ether, very up with people.
Yeah.
At this point. Like, he's just like, yeah, man. Like, you do you. Like, why not? Do your thing. Like, nobody is going to help you, like, do your thing.
For the diehard, like, Kevin Smith folks that really follow him, do you feel like his, like, success with weight loss and has increased his...
I don't think it's helped the message. I think it's just helped him be in a better mind frame.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Because he had a lot of body shame. Like, bless it. Like,
I think he still does, but just not to the degree that he used to.
Right.
Wouldn't even take off his shirt until he was inside the shower, and he would take off his shirt and, like, throw it out.
Yeah, like, we're talking about, like, he's in a room by himself.
Yeah.
But because there's a mirror or he could look down, he didn't even want to take his shirt off then.
It's...
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Oh. Damn. So he seems to be doing better, but he had the up with people thing before this happened.
Yeah.
He just it's emboldened him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think part of that is that, you know, with the weight loss, with him being able to do whatever the fuck he wants to film wise and actually get, you know, people to back him and it makes its money back, is he realized that, like, oh, fuck it. Like it and he also feels justified in telling people this now. Like, you can tell that he's drinking his own Kool-Aid now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's kind of what I was asking about, is, like, now that he's had some, like, you know, some transformative success, is he maybe more confident in passing along this message?
Yeah, because that's kind of goes along with what I was saying, like, before he got a chance to work with George Carlin and stuff. Yeah, you can sit there and say, yeah, give the people a little bit of a message. That doesn't mean that you believe in it, that you're living it. This man has lived his life so open. There's no way he's not legit on anything he does.
Right.
Between social media, the podcast, Q&As, you know, everything that he'll do. Yeah, he may have had some doubts even in the beginning, you know, and, you know, he's talked about where, you know, some of the earlier movies would have been different, like Mallrats, if he knew he could disagree with, like, say, the Hollywood execs and stuff like that. So it took... He's one of the few writer, director, people like that to take what he's learned and just keep rolling with. And now he is at that point where he's like,
fuck it.
Yeah. If I want three people to sit in a room and talk, like, you know, basically like a Quentin Tarantino movie for 3 hours, he'll fucking do it. But the dialogue is so dynamic and something will happen, like, in a window out in the background, just enough to catch your attention. It'll be funny as shit.
It almost seems to me like his bearing his soul is his version of being able to be naked.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In front of people where he can't, you know, he had all these body image issues for all these years and still probably does.
He has, like, never nude.
But, like, I mean, you know,
this is how he compensates.
I mean, you know,
absolutely.
And that's fantastic for him because it's he's able to express. Beautiful.
That's why, one of the reasons that I went to the podcast with my question and asking about him and his wife is, yeah, I liked him when I was in high school. I liked him as a director, but, like, coming to know him as a person.
Oh, yeah.
Has been really special to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean to be gross, but.
Well, something, and I think you caught it during the Q&A that was so much a statement on what a kind, caring, like, I mean, people pleasing, like, loving person he is that there were multiple times that people sneezed in the audience when he was in the middle of a long rant and, like, without missing a beat. He's just like, and then, you know, on the set of Yoga Hut, bless you, we were doing this thing where it was not calling attention to it. It was him, honestly, some random person in the crowd that he couldn't even see. Sneeze.
An everyday common courtesy.
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy exactly. He is. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, hey, man, like... When I shouted out Jen in my fucking, like, question, he did, like, the little, like, hand wave at her.
The,
like,
cutest little, like, hi.
Yeah.
And, like, when people talk to him, he's like, oh, yeah, hey, man, thank you. Like, he's just the sweetest guy.
Yeah.
It's so disarming and amazing. Jen and I are getting weeping.
Okay, and honestly, we're right at the tail end at this point anyway, unless anybody has another thing or... All right. Obviously, we all had an absolute blast checking out Kevin Smith's Q&A's.
Yes, oh my God.
If he comes to a town near you, I would definitely
go. Or, you know what, I'll even throw this out there, Kevin Smith, because I know with my right hand over here. She talks to him all the time, social media, Twitter, whatever.
Not all the time.
If he listens, yeah.
That's, I mean, that is why I have Twitter. I'm going to still
throw this out there. If he listens to any of our podcasts, know that we like him. I would even say not even wait until he gets in town. Let's do a phone interview. We'll take a phone interview.
You're goddamn right. We'll take some right. I'm not going to be that motherfucker on some like upstart podcast being like, no, he either fucking flies to Richmond or nothing. Like, no, fuck your life. No. If he sends me a nice email, I'll be happy and read it verbatim.
It's not like come to my living room or nothing, bitch.
Yeah, no, none right. of that shit. Honestly, he was a major inspiration with starting this that we got to see Kevin Smith the day before our 1 year anniversary of Geeks Under the Influence.
Yep.
Which was the best way to fucking celebrate it. We are
we'll
a year
get to go see fucking.
We're a year fucking in. And a lot of that inspiration, a lot of the drive that I got from doing this was because I listened to podcasts like Smodcast and all of his other Smodco network stuff.
Which people is why a lot of us are involved.
Exactly. I mean he's positively driven and wants people to create. And so here we are creating, and I couldn't be fucking happier about it.
Exactly.
And part of that is getting a note from somebody that I respect being like, dude, just fucking do it. And that was the message that he brought to Richmond with his Q&A.
Why not?
And that's why we're here a year fucking later, still sitting in this living room, like talking about dumb nerd shit and getting drunk because why not?
Because why not? Exactly.
Well, because I had to get away from the kid. No, I'm just joking.
Oh, no. But to be fair, parents need to get away from the kids sometimes.
Very, very true. That's why she needs to do more episodes.
I'm more than happy to have you on more. Like,
we'll see. I have to... If you ever do a Parks and Rec one, maybe I'll be interested.
Ooh.
That's...
I didn't think about Parks and Rec.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Like, I've read Nick Offerman's book. Like,
yeah.
like
you've seen stand-up then, too, right?
Oh, yeah. Dude, Nick Offerman's everything, yeah, I would have no problem doing a Parks and Rec episode.
But even in Parks and Rec, like Aziz Ansari is hilarious on the show, not so much solo, but on the show. God damn,
I've talked with a number of people about that. I am not a fan of Aziz's stand-up, but him as an actor and a person, like he seems like the biggest sweetheart that I would want to hang out with all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like,
but yeah, I just
puppy.
Yeah, little peppy. Yeah. I would love to hang out with Aziz. That'd be a blast.
I would love to hang out with Nick Offerman.
Yes.
Just quietly sip scotch
and do man shit.
I will literally sip scotch in front of that man for an hour.
You, me, Nick Offerman, Jenny Slate.
Yeah.
You got to meet Jenny Slate.
Yeah, I was a nervous wreck, but she was really nice.
Which,
Jody's doppelganger.
This is a podcast, so nobody can tell, but my wife Jody is basically her doppelganger.
Yes.
Which is, I think that's part of how I heard about you, Jody, was because... You look like Jenny Slate.
So we need to make Jenny Slate and Jody get together one day.
Well, apparently she comes to Richmond because of family or whatever.
We saw her at Galaxy.
Yeah.
In Tarrytown.
Her husband's from here.
Yes.
So, okay.
All right, well, we all know that Jenny Slate is an avid listener of Geeks Under the Influence. So Jenny, listen, darling.
Jenny, please. girl. You, me, Jen Preston, Anthony, Nick Offerman, Kevin Smith.
Party.
We got this.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you other, like, sausages
the
can
building
come
explodes. Too.
You guys can just sit around and snark at each other for several hours. Yeah.
Snark, half-flash.
Yeah.
More like I'll just jerk off on a hobbit's face, neck, and chest.
I'm about to say, I'm just going to file that.
That's what we'll be doing as our friends are hanging out with Jenny Slate.
Exactly. We could be there.
You know, hey, he and I can just be, like, holding hands, like,
yeah,
as you're spanking it,
holding
hands
with
the dude as you're spanking it.
It's okay because later on, your wives will take you home and let you look at your assholes while you jerk off into the back of their knee.
Stranger,
and it's gonna be fine.
Yeah.
Actually, I recently reread that chapter of Tough Shit. Yeah,
it's so sweet.
I always get emotional about
it. Romantic.
Yes, it is.
So on that bombshell, as they say on Top Gear,
Kevin Smith, if you listen to us, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah,
seriously,
I mean, it doesn't hurt to throw that out. But
back off in the back of our knees.
If he has no problem being a media whore, I have no problem whoring out this podcast.
Motherfucker, have you been to a convention with me? That's all I fucking talk about. All
right, well,
truth. Like we pumped the shit out of this fucking podcast.
Yeah, we shit out of it. Talk about how many times after the Kevin Smith event that I was like, Mike, I'm sorry. sorry. I didn't shout out the podcast. I'm sorry.
I was just laughing because, like, honestly, you're, like, loud, like, screamy, ugly cry to the way to the car after you realized the block from the National that you had just talked to Kevin Smith was everything. That was almost more enjoyable than the fucking the Q&A was watching you just like fucking like loud, ugly, like raccoon eyed. Yeah, nice.
Well, yeah, I was about you just put the final nail on that coffin.
God damn,
you're sleeping with the cat.
Yeah,
it was everything. It was one of those that like. Just to watch somebody so emotionally taken aback by something that you were witness to is it makes it so much stronger and better. Like it,
absolutely,
it was everything, and it made his inspirational stuff drive that much further home because I see how it affects people, and it's just like, oh shit,
I have that connection to him because like I was a fan of his movies, but I came to know him through the podcast, and like now he's somebody special to me,
and so.
It just went to that next level shit.
Oh, yeah.
Frankly, sir, I cried.
Oh, just a little. Or, you know, loud, angry bawling. But
I will take it.
No, it was actually, it was super, super sweet.
You know me, bawling every day.
Oh, and on that note.
On that note. We're done with this episode. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Geeks Under the Influence. We will be back next week with another dynamic episode. And, as always, thank you to the Gojira Experiment for their use of Little Girl on the intro and for the Creepazoid's use of Dead by Dawn on the outro. Check us out at GUIPodcast.com, Twitter at GUIPodcastRVA, or all sorts of other social media, and we will see you next week. Join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Flipper Flapper! Flipper Flapper!
Flipper Flapper! Join us!